there are violent riots going on in Los Angeles. Riots against ICE, that's the Immigration Enforcement Authority of the American government. Things have been set on fire. ICE agents are being physically attacked. There are threats by someone called Hakeem Jeffries to dox these ICE agents in order to intimidate them. They are arresting people that have come into America illegally who are inherently criminals. They are arresting, some of these are worse than that. They are you know, convicted of violence, convicted of sex offences, all kinds of things. And they're going into that community to rightfully enforce the law and take them out of the community and take them back to where they come from. And the result is huge riots that at the time of going to Pixel have been going on since Friday. It is now Monday. Serious disorder. These are inevitable. And what I want to look at in today's video from an evolutionary perspective, really, is why they are happening. But before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please subscribe? It helps me so violently if you do that. Could you subscribe here? And could you subscribe on my Substack, jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most basic stuff I can't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, vlogs, films I make, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of just a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So this is inevitable. This is the South Africanization, if you like, of the United States. The United States is all in its destruction. It's always going to be 20 or 30 years ahead of Britain. Britain is currently 80% white. In 1980, America was about 80% white. So we in Britain are looking at the future. This is what the future is, this kind of rioting. In essence, this is it relates essentially to race. It is a distinction between America, which is white, or the founding America anyway. Now America is probably only about 55% white, but the founding original America was white people, and in particular British people, then more Germans, and then more recently other European ethnic groups, as against the Hispanics. And the Hispanics are a mixture of Native Americans and white people to varying degrees. This is what we are dealing with. They have gone in and to Los Angeles, where Los Angeles has an enormous Hispanic population. The county in which Los Angeles sits is only about 28% white. So it's overwhelmingly Hispanic. I was in that area of Southern California a couple of years ago, and I was literally compelled with a caretaker at my hotel, because the cleaners, who were Hispanic and Spanish speaking, had locked the door to my ensuite loo, and I had to go and get the caretaker to unlock it, and that caretaker didn't speak English, in quite a nice hotel called the Sheraton Hotel. And so I had to use my secondary school Spanish to communicate with him. So that's the level of integration in these kinds of places. So the Hispanics have essentially set up a separate society within Los Angeles and within California. A separate society. There is no integration. They have maintained their own language. They have maintained their own customs. They have maintained their own food. They have maintained, basically, they have maintained a Mexican, or more broadly, at least South and Central American enclave within the United States, in which there is no integration, there is no question of integration. Of course, they feel a strong, when you're a minority anywhere, it tends to elevate your sense of ethnocentrism. The things that elevate ethnocentrism are stress, in particularly mortality salience, but also feeling excluded from the broader society. These elevate ethnocentrism, and they elevate religiosity, the two being related to each other. So there ends up being a strong feeling of camaraderie among fellow Mexicans in this place, and among just fellow Hispanic Americans, whatever you want to call it, Latin Americans. Now, send people in to what they regard as their area, as their enclave, to take away fellow Latin Americans, and you can see that the result is to perceive this as an attack on them, as an attack on all Latin Americans. It's a very basic evolutionary response. And one of them, a city councilwoman, who of course was Hispanic, actually said that if you attack one of us, you attack all of us. And they don't care about the fact that these people have broken the law. They don't care about the fact that these people are in the country illegally. The point is, these people are part of their ethnic group. As far as they're concerned, the white Americans are dominant. The white Americans are a kind of an invader, really, and they are. I mean, they came to a place which was overwhelmed, which was Native American, and they invaded it. And you can see how the attitude would be, we are now taking it back. This would give you a certain degree of self-esteem if you were poor and you were Mexican, or you were poor and you were South American. We are part of a movement that is going to take back our continent, our country, our place from these historical invaders. And what they're trying to do, as far as the Hispanics are concerned, is reduce the percentage of Hispanics within Los Angeles, reduce the percentage of Hispanics within their enclave, destroy their ethnic enclave. And you can see that the response to that would be exactly the same as if Ireland became united and started deporting Protestants from, you know, parts of East Belfast or whatever. That would be exactly the same response. This is our enclave, our ethnic, our country. And it's a very, very primal thing as humans that we divide into these groups based around shared ancestry, based around shared ethnicity, based around shared race, based around shared genetics, because that's how you survive. You have to be part of a group. And once you've done that, it's even more primal. You attain territory. You attain territory which you control, that is yours, that is your hunting ground, that you control. And the bigger is your hunting ground, the more access to resources your group has, the more likely you are to survive. And this is what they have done. They have come into America, mainly from Mexico, though also from other Latin American countries, but mainly from Mexico, and they have eked out certain enclaves, certain bits of territory, which are now theirs, which are now Mexican. And the more Mexicans come in, and the more whites and other whatever move out, the more territory they control, and the more it belongs to them. And what Trump is doing is, one, threatening to remove Mexicans from what is seen as a Mexican area. This is a direct attack on their territory. And two, interfering with, if you like, the sort of almost the sovereignty of their territory. This is their territory. It is theirs. They control it. And Trump is interfering with it and saying, no, I control it. I control you. And you are going to do what I want. And this brings in the possibility that he might deport all of them, that he might remove them from their territory, that he might take them back to Mexico, that he might plunge them into poverty, that he might plunge them into a situation where they cease to exist as a people and are forced to integrate completely, including genetically, into the white population. And this, of course, from an evolutionary perspective, is completely unacceptable. And only once there is a critical mass, only once Mexicans control a significant area, can we get ourselves into a situation where they feel sufficiently emboldened and sufficiently powerful, and sufficiently like they're going to be backed up by their comrades, that they can fight back. If it was just a mix of immigrants from all over the place, this wouldn't be able to happen. But it can happen, because they are so overwhelmingly from one place, and that is Mexico. Now, even if that wasn't the case, there still could be a general sense of solidarity that we are the disempowered. We are the non-whites, united against the white. It's just about possible that could happen. And one of the things that you see in these Los Angeles protests is the use of things like Palestinian flags and Palestinian clothing. So they're identifying with other supposedly repressed non-white groups. The argument being they feel disempowered, they feel they don't have power, and they want to tear down that which is symbolic of power. And ICE is symbolic of power, and Trump is symbolic of power, and Israel is symbolic of power. So they want to attack it. That's what you want to do if you're of low status. Rip down that which is symbolic of power so that you can gain some kind of power in the chaos. So this is what we are seeing. They have managed to very substantially take over an area of Los Angeles, take it over to the extent that they have councillors, to the extent that the police are Hispanic, to the extent that the authorities, the judges, everybody is Hispanic and is likely to have a sense of ethnic solidarity with other Hispanics. I don't mean Hispanic as in Spanish speaker. I mean the specific clan, the white Native American mix that is Hispanic, and they have this sense of themselves, and they have this sense of expanding their territory and getting more territory and being more successful as a people. Now you might think, oh, it's so contradictory. They come from Mexico because it's awful. They want to be in America, and yet they're going around attacking American agents and waving Mexican flags. Well, I think this is perfectly logical. They are the Mexican people. And as Carl Benjamin said on his sort of podcast about this recently, Mexico, from their perspective, is wherever the Mexican people are. You could argue that people in Britain 200 years ago left Britain because they wanted a better life abroad. And they would come up with copes as to why life in Britain wasn't very good for them, you know, conspiracy theories or whatever, to deal with it, to deal with the cognitive dissonance of loving Britain and being patriotic British people, but then also wanting to leave Britain. And also there's a degree to which that's what a certain kind of person from an ethnic group does. The strivers, they will move forward. They will expand their ethnic group. They will expand its territory. It's a natural thing to want to do, not to rest on your laurels and say it's perfect, to both believe it's wonderful and great, but to yet want to expand it further and expand its influence. This is exactly what the British did in going to America in the first place. It's exactly why Texas was ceded from Mexico to America, because white Americans expanded into Texas until they were the majority, and then they wanted, or at least a large minority, and then they, of course, wanted to be part of the United States rather than Mexico. Well, we're seeing this happening in reverse. The Hispanics are expanding out of Mexico into, well, in this case, not Texas, but California, coming to dominate California, and then wanting, well, obviously, naturally, eventually, want California to be part of Mexico. So it's simply ethnic warfare. If you have multiculturalism, you will eventually have the breakup of nations into ethnic enclaves. We know this. People are much more likely to cooperate with and want to be with people of their own ethnic group rather than other ethnic groups, and you will get enclaves. And this is what they're defending. They're defending their Mexican enclave, the land they've invaded and carved out, and it's theirs, against what they see as a hostile American government that represents ultimately a different ethnic group. And we will expect this to happen in the UK. This is clearly happening in France. This is what happens at the end of empires, the breakup of polities. And this is happening before our eyes as the Mexicans defend what they see as their polity, their part of Los Angeles, their place, against people who are trying to take it away from them.
Are you ready for the future of the West?